Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to a special episode of Cinema Royale. I am Travis Hobson of the Punch Drunk Critics. And on this show, I had a chance to speak with Lulu Wong. Now, if you don't know her name, she's the director of The Farewell. This is a movie that I saw at Sundance back in January, and I absolutely fell in love with it. It stars Awkwafina in what I think is possibly an awards-caliber performance. She's that good. She plays Billy, a Chinese-American who learns that her beloved grandma is dying of cancer. However, her family, who are very traditional Chinese, aren't going to tell grandma about the diagnosis. Instead, they're going to all gather in their native China for a mock wedding so they can spend time with grandma in her final weeks and months. It is a story that is based on Lulu Wong's personal experiences, strangely enough. She chronicled this on an episode of This American Life a few years ago. And it's full of heart and humor and sadness. And one of the things I loved about it is the way it explores a different culture, something that would seem so foreign to us, the idea of not telling a loved one that they have a disease. But the way Wong portrays it, you really get a sense of why this thing is not, it's something that is something that we would not understand here, but you get a sense of the reason why it makes sense for another culture to maybe do something like this. It's a terrific movie. I absolutely loved it. It was my favorite movie out of Sundance, and I still love it now. And here's my interview with Lulu Wong. I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, I was at the premiere of the film at Sundance. And
that's a while ago.
Yeah.
You saw it that early. Wow, that's great.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. And I know I wasn't the only one, but I left really loving the movie. Thinking it was just one of the best things I saw. I figured I was going to see the whole year. How has the reaction to the film been for you? Have you been just kind of swept up in the moment of the whole thing?
Yeah. It's pretty intense, I guess, because, you know, there's so many stories around the story itself,
mm-hmm.
around the film, you know, so it's been surreal, really, yeah.
Has it been sort of, I guess, overwhelming, because it is such a personal story that you kind of have to, you know, keep getting asked about these same stories over and over again? Has it kind of been overwhelming having to do that over and over again, where you live this stuff over and over?
Yeah, it's so funny because when this happened to me in 2013, my problem was that I had no one to talk to about it. Nobody saw it from my perspective. And I would turn to my parents and just be like, can you just listen to me? I'm not saying you have to agree with me, but I just want you to listen to how I'm feeling, you know. And
yeah.
They just were like, we don't time. You know, we have a lot to do to put on this wedding, and now, of course, like, you know, everybody wants to talk about it,
yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, I'm emotionally hungover, yeah, because you're just, like, pouring out, you know, like,
yeah.
All of your feelings and thoughts.
That sounds so exhausting.
Yeah.
Was that kind of the moment when you knew you had a story there, like, when you were... You know, kind of hashing it out with your family about it. Is that when you knew you had a story?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I felt like the experience, the intensity of emotions during that week was probably the most intense, you know, experience that I've ever had, because it was like, you know, grief, but there was also so much joy. And then there were all these ethical conflicts, and then it was all of this, it was also all of this tension around, like, you know, my relationship to this country, and how much of that centers around my grandmother, and if she was gone, you know, she's the linchpin of the whole family. We all come back to see her, and she brings the family together. So then what happens if she's gone? Will I come back here again? And so, you know, and then if her house isn't even there, like, what am I coming back for, you know? So it was all of these different levels of questions and feelings. So I knew that it would make for a very interesting and tonal film. You know, I think it was the tone that drew me to telling the story, because there's something sort of eerie but melancholy, but also hilarious at the same time.
That's a really difficult balance to find. How long did it take you to kind of find that right balance? Did you kind of struggle with it, or was it something that just sort of came naturally?
You know, with this story, it came really naturally because part of what drew me to this story as it was happening was exactly that. It was the perfect vehicle to sort of explore my particular sense of humor, and which is that, you know, I think humor comes from perspective. It's like two people can look at the same situation and one person might laugh and one person might not.
Yeah.
And to me, that's kind of the beauty of it, right? Like, and that's the kind of film that I wanted to make, was that it wasn't necessarily like I needed to be heavy-handed with the humor, because I didn't need to force people to laugh. If they found it to be funny, they could laugh, you know? And if somebody goes, well, I don't know if I have permission to laugh, I'm not gonna laugh, that's that person's personality.
Yeah.
Because there were certainly a lot of people in my family who weren't laughing at all during the entire quote-unquote wedding, right? So I think it kind of came pretty naturally to me, and I knew what I was going for. It was, the hard part was communicating it to my team and saying to my DP or, you know, my producers that, like, because, you know, we all knew we're making a comedy, and so sometimes the instinct is like, well, is it funny enough? Like, on the page, it may not be funny enough. How do we make it funnier? And I didn't want to do that. I kept saying, well, it's going to be funny. I don't know how to convince you, but I promise it's going to be funny once you see it on screen. But that's a very difficult thing to say to a producer when you're a young, like, second-time filmmaker.
Yeah.
Just, like, trust me.
Yeah.
You know? And so I kept saying that all the time, trust me, trust me. And then when they saw the film, they were like, oh, it is really funny. You know, things that weren't on the page are funny on screen.
Yeah. Was it kind of along the same lines? Was this kind of a different, I mean, not a different, but a difficult sell? I mean, because it does kind of balance two totally different cultures, American and Chinese culture, you know, and they're different in a lot of ways. And did you find it a difficult sell for producers to kind of, you know, like, pick one or the other or whatever?
Yeah, absolutely. When I first started pitching it, before I did This American Life, I was pitching the film to different producers, and they would always ask me if it was an American film or a Chinese film.
Oh, they would literally ask that question.
They would literally say, you know, is this an American film or a Chinese film? And to me, I'm like, well, it's told through my perspective. I'm American, so it's an American film.
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, well, we don't know how to sell it, though, with this particular family. They'd have to all speak English. You know, maybe we could even, like, set it in the States, and maybe we could change the casting.
That would completely change it.
Yeah, and then I'm like, but then I don't know how to tell that story, because then everything about it changes. You change the context of it, then you're changing the core of it. And so then I actually went and pitched it to a couple Chinese producers, and the Chinese producers felt like it could work for the Chinese market, but I would just not be able to have Billy as the main character. Because her perspective is too American and too Westernized. And, like, Chinese audiences wouldn't think this was so crazy, you know? And so they wanted me to create a Chinese protagonist, and Billy would maybe be, like, the friend or the cousin who, like, I was like, but I don't know how to write this movie from a Chinese protagonist's point of view. That's the whole point, right?
Yeah.
Is that she's trying to figure out how to navigate this culture that she doesn't understand. So how do I write that culture from somebody on the inside?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the biggest struggle.
Have you shown it to different audiences? Have you gotten different reactions from people?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, we showed it, obviously American audiences, but we also showed it in the UK. We got the audience award in the UK. We've shown it in China a few times because we have a distributor now, and it played at the Shanghai Film Festival. And people do resonate with it because everybody's left home. Everybody has family that they love that they had to leave behind, that they struggle with the guilt of leaving them behind. They struggle with different cultures, and not just East versus West, China versus America. Culture can also be Republican versus Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could live in New York City, but have family in Texas, and you struggle with different perspectives, different cultures, right? And so I do think that those are the things that people can all relate to.
One of the things I really latched onto with the film, and maybe it's just me, my personality, but I love the way you shoot the food in the movie.
Mm.
Food is one of those things that, you know, is one of those things that brings families together, and it seemed like that was also a big part of the movie too. I loved every time you're sitting at the table, Nana would show food in Philly's mouth. Was that one of those things that it was like for you? It was like the food was sort of a connecting thing with your family?
Yeah, food is an expression of love, and so to express that they love you, to give you food, and to accept their love, you have to eat the food, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I also put all the food in the film as a source of tension, because and there's an escalation of meals that builds up to the wedding, you know, with the mouth
yeah.
of the food. And that is because it's a visual manifestation of the conflict, right? Because if you were really celebrating, you would eat.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're grieving, you lose your appetite. And so this whole family, in order to feign celebration, has to force themselves to eat when they don't want to eat. And for Grandma, who's celebrating, she's just like, why aren't you all eating anymore? You know, and so I wanted to keep that escalating throughout the film to, in a sort of unconscious way, have the audience feel the sense of pressure to perform joy.
Talk to me a little bit about the casting of Awkwafina. She's fantastic in the movie. What was it that made you decide that she was perfect for this lead role?
So we met for coffee, and I was skeptical at first because I had only seen her music videos and some of her comedy. But she sent in a self-taped audition after we met, and the audition tape is what convinced me because, you know, she had told me that she was raised by her Chinese grandma and that she really resonated with the script, but it wasn't until I saw the tape where I knew that she was able to translate all of those feelings onto the screen. You can actually see even when she's not talking, especially when she's not talking, you know.
She doesn't have a huge amount of dialogue.
Exactly, because so much of the film is about the things she's not allowed to say,
mm-hmm.
right? And so how do you convey all of these complicated emotions in total silence? And when I saw the audition tape, she did exactly that. You could see all of these complicated emotions being processed, you know, on her face, through her eyes. And I sent them some screenshots, and it was just like, even in a still, you could see her face was so expressive. It was both blank and expressive, which is a very interesting dichotomy. And so that's how I knew she could do it. And then once we got on set, it was more about convincing her not to use her comedy muscle and to trust that she had all of the tools that she needed by just being. She didn't have to do anything.
All right, everybody, that was my interview with Lulu Wong, director of The Farewell. I hope you enjoyed it. It's an incredible movie, and it's out in theaters now. It's getting all sorts of acclaim. I think it's going to be around for a while, and even when it's out of theaters, people are going to be talking about it for a long time. And you're definitely going to hear it brought up again when the award season comes up in just a few short months. So keep an eye out for The Farewell. If it's playing in your area, go and check it out. All right, that was my interview with Lulu Wong for The Farewell. And this is Travis Hobson of the Punch Drunk Critics. Thanks for joining me.